Welcome. And this morning we're going to talk about the encounter with Jesus that these two men had. And I wrestled with this one, I have to be honest, and I believe God's given me a couple of thoughts. But I really felt when we were praying this morning, one of the encounters that I had today with Jesus is just that he would show up in the circumstances of our lives. And we would see him and recognize him and invite him. And that's my sermon today. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It's infallible, it's holy, it's timeless, it's the truth. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. I pray your word would speak this morning and bear fruit in Jesus' wonderful name. And everyone said, amen and amen. So turn to Luke chapter 24. We'll just cut into the chapter and start reading. I'm in the NIV, so if you just want to listen, it's in verse 13. Now that same day, this is pretty fresh into the resurrection, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about the events, everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. Hallelujah. But they were kept from recognizing him. That's a line that I wrestle with. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And they stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor in Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women," those women, "they amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body." By the way, next week we're going to talk about the women on Mother's Day. "They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. He said to them," how foolish you are, you bunch of dummies, "slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Now this isn't my sermon, but I've said this many, many times. This is the sermon that I would love to have recorded. "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." I would love that sermon. "And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as though he were going to go further, but they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and began to give it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us?' And they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized them when he broke the bread." Amen. I think it's interesting that today is the day we broke bread together and had communion, and that was what Jesus used to show himself to his disciples again. So this encounter, among others, must have some very significant meanings and purpose. And I've been saying, "Lord, show me them all week." You think you just wake up and you just show up here. I've been struggling with this thing for a week. But I do know God speaks. And through worship, through just the moving of the Spirit and from prayer this morning. It just, I know God wants to speak. And so my message is, put the next slide up. We need a fresh vision of Jesus. Amen? This encounter, you know, the Proverbs says, without a vision, people perish. So here's what I believe from this little encounter, this story that's recorded for us in the Word of God. There are some good things to take out of it. And the first one for me is, if there's anything our family needs, if there's anything as a church we need, is a fresh vision of Jesus. To see Him again, to recognize Him for who He is. And that's what happens in the story. And so these guys are walking along, and they don't get it. This is the day of the resurrection. This is the day that we celebrate 2,025 years later, whatever, and we're still celebrating it, and this is the morning of the resurrection, and these guys, they're not getting it. They're not seeing it. The Bible says, you know, without a vision, without revelation, people perish. And I like this, you know, I was reading about vision and seeing and whatever, and the story of blind Bartimaeus came to life to me again. Here's a blind guy, but he sees it. He saw and he cried out. There's something about seeing, not with these eyes, but with the Spirit, with our hearts. At Life Group, another plug for Life Group, we're going through the book Revive Me, and we're starting to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And what does that mean, and how to be baptized? And so we're chatting around that, and a couple in our life group, they haven't been filled with the Spirit or baptized in the Spirit. And so we're chatting about it, and what hit me is, it's really hard to explain spiritual stuff. New birth, baptism, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Like, yes, we go through Scripture and talk about it, but again, it's better caught than taught. It's better experienced and taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, I used to preach that message so many thousand times that I might just preach it again here this morning. But we are tired of you know, a recipe book about, you know, some of the most precious meals in the world, you know, nice pictures. We want to taste and see that God is good. We want to experience His power. We want to see Him changing circumstances in our families. And He is willing and able to do that. But we need to see Him again. So these guys, they were downcast. Those verses, you know, talk about that we had hoped. They kind of reminded me of Albertans after the general election. Oh, yes. Anyhow, let's not go there. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Our kids used to have this little cassette. And I forget how it starts, but a joyful heart is good medicine, a joyful heart. A broken spirit dries up the bones. And it's true. This is Proverbs. And if you lose hope, you know, one of the last things you can afford to lose is hope. If you lose hope, man, you're done. You go under. You know, if you're kicking and trying to survive swimming, and I've drowned a few times in my life. I hate swimming, by the way, just so you know. But if you lose hope, it's kind of the last thing to hold on to. And these guys, they're saying, we had hoped. We, you know, they're walking around. They're miserable. And then Proverbs 17:22 says, a joyful spirit is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. That's my song. A hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. I love when God somehow has a way of coming in to hopeless situations. And just at the right time, I was going to say at the last moment, but at the right time, brings hope, brings life. And we prayed with a number even this morning. And I remember Jack Osterfeld, some of you know him from years ago. He used to always pray when I'd ask him to pray, or even if I didn't ask him to pray, praying for certain things, he would always pray, God, surprise him. Surprise him. And I love that prayer. I love that, just a surprise. Man, I need one today. We need one. We need to hear his voice and to restore that hope, to restore some kind of confidence again that actually God cares about our circumstances. And he's actually with us. So, we need a new vision and a fresh vision of Jesus. And I pray this morning as we're here, as we're waiting on God and speaking about it, that somehow, supernaturally, that's coming back to our life group. How do you talk about the baptism of the precious gift of the Holy Spirit without it just becoming like a teaching, but it's the Holy Spirit coming into our lives? And what are some of us old-timers, you're calling us the old-timers, we can just become familiar with it. And yeah, this is how we do church. And it's like, God, I don't want that. I want the surprise. I want the precious freshness of the Holy Spirit coming into my life. And I thank God even this morning, just waiting here and praying and being stirred and have Russell pray for me again. I believe God is going to answer those prayers that we've prayed today. We will see it. We will see his hand. Second thing comes out of this story is religion or revelation. You say, "Whoa, that's pretty, pretty. That's deep, eh? How did you come to that?" But the further they got from Jerusalem, the closer they got to the revelation of Jesus. And I don't know what that picture brings to mind to you, but it was like they had to get out on the road to Emmaus. They had to get out of the city, and then as they're walking along, they began to get a picture of who this man was that was walking with them. For whatever reason, Jesus decides to join them. Their eyes weren't opened. He's questioning them, and then he allows their eyes to open, and he reveals himself to them. And here's my thought. I'm praying, folks. I'm praying that we can get away from a religious experience and somehow talking about Jesus or even singing or whatever to a point where his spirit actually grips us and changes our day and changes our walk, and we get a fresh revelation of who he is. May it be so today. The thing about religion, and we've all experienced some of it. I remember when Matthew was in about grade 3, he went to a Catholic school, first time being back in Canada, this whole story. And I remember one day he comes home from school and he says to his mom, "What's religion?" I thought, that's pretty good. We've been in church our whole life and he'd never got that. He never understood what's religion. But religion is boring. Religion sucks the life out of you, if that's all it is. If it's just some practices, if it's just some things we do. But a relationship with Jesus, it brings life. There are those surprises. There is life. There is tasting and seeing that God is good. And if you haven't tasted and seen that God is good for a while, then I'm just encouraging you to wait on him. Ask him. Seek him. Let him reveal himself to you. Open your eyes, even through a communion. I appreciated our sister at the back here. I always only can remember them as DNA. Dennis and Adele. And DNA helps me. But she was talking this morning. She said, I wished we had communion every Sunday. Just how precious it was. And then she preached me a whole message on Romans 8 about there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Hallelujah. That's fresh revelation. That's something that's, she talked about Dr. Cook back in Bible school. And if you know that name in the college where we went to, you are old. And his message in Romans 8 every day, standing up in class, saying there is therefore no condemnation. No more condemnation. And we need to hear it again and have just a fresh revelation of our relationship to Jesus. Amen? Let's go on. The third one, current events versus Scripture. Current events left them sad. I had to look at that one. It says, don't you know the news? Haven't you heard what's been going on? And that's where I really thought about Alberta. Like, where have you been? And Jesus says, what news? Oh, man. He's a tricky guy. Have you ever been saying, what? You know, and he's like, what problem? This one! And he wants us to come to him and pray and seek him. But these guys, if you listen to current events, if that's all you do, if you're on CNN, Fox, I don't care who you're on, if that's what's filling your brains, you are going to be like these guys. You're going to be sad. You're going to be mad. You're going to be frustrated. If that's your view of the world, is what you're feeding it every day with just the current events of the day, get a life. Get a hold of the Scripture. Jesus, what Jesus did is he comes and he opens up the Scripture. And man, many times I've gone back to, you know, the books of Moses and the Proverbs, and the prophets that he talks about here. And starting at the beginning, he opened to them the Scriptures. And it's like, okay, I want to see it again. I want to see that red crimson line that goes from Moses, goes from Adam straight to the cross. I want to understand the gospel message that Jesus preached from the Scriptures and know it again and experience it again and live in it again. And I don't know why there's not recordings back in AD 30, whatever year this was. Don't you ever wish there was just a tape recorder, a Super 8 or something, whatever, but actually, you know what? We have it. It's in his word. And he spoke this same scriptures that we sit here and look at and brought life to them. And so, if nothing else, I want to put in a plug for the word of God. How is your Bible reading going? How is your love for his word today? I pray that it's greater than ever. I pray that there's a desire for his word like never before in your life. Amen? Do you love God's word? I pray that all of us, we would dig into it, we would know it, we would understand it. And that's what Jesus helped these guys with in their life. Current events made them sad. You know, here's a lie of the devil. Scriptures are boring. Scriptures are tiring. Scriptures are hard to understand. It's a lie. When the Word of God is brought to life, like before I was a Christian, before I was saved, we were part of the Catholic Church. Don't judge me this morning. We were definitely not saved when we were part of the Catholic Church, trust me. We really liked the priest who would drink a lot with us, because that meant he was a good guy. But we read the Bible. We had the Bible in our home. We heard these texts every year. Easter time, Christmas time, every week we'd hear the texts, whatever they were. But it was just like hollow. That's all you're going to remember for the whole day. But it's true. It's like wood. Clunk. It had no life. And I've shared this story many times, and then one of these Sundays I'm going to bring all my Bibles from that first little black Bible that Brian gave me up to today. Just amazing how the very first time opening that scripture as a spirit-filled, saved 15-year-old, and I was like, this is life. This is bread. The first time I read that God loved me, it moved from some verse or some guy standing there speaking this boring thing to life. And the Word of God came and touched my soul. And that's what I'm praying for. I don't want to get used to this. I don't want to become familiar. I don't want it to become religious. Just going through motion. I want the Word of God to speak to my life and to my soul. And then when the Spirit of God and the Word of God and all the tools that we heard about this morning speaks to us, speaks to me, then I respond and I obey and I walk in it and I live it out in my life. That's the intention. So if you're living on current events, get into the Word of God. Another one. Being with Jesus or knowing Him. It says that He was not known to them. And all I want to say about this is they expected something different, right? They didn't recognize it. Like, they thought Jesus, who they knew, they got familiar with, this is how He was going to show up. This is how He was going to present Himself. This is how Jesus is. And He showed up in a way they couldn't recognize. He showed, like, you know, we quickly forget God's blessing from the past because He's not moving, working, doing, doesn't quite answer the prayer like we thought He should have from the past. And they didn't recognize Him, and they didn't necessarily get it. And I'm saying, how's Jesus showing up in your life these days? And again, coming back to our life group, when we were filled with the Holy Spirit, Bible camp, church services were 3 times on Sunday, every night of the week. True. We didn't think it was hard to go to church. We thought it was, that's all we do. Just so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. But that's not good either. But it was like, that's how we just thought, I thought Jesus was coming back, like in 1974. And I'm shocked that I'm still here. And I'm still waiting. But it was like, so what we're saying on Life Group is we could worship Jesus all night. And, you know, it's like the way He moved, the way He showed up, the way He spoke to us then, it's like, oh, man, I want that again. But you know what? God shows up in a different way today. And that's what we were talking about at Life Group. It's like, okay, now He wants you to mature. He wants you to grow up. He wants you to have the fruit of the Spirit. He wants you to live holy lives. He wants to deal with the stuff in our life. That's not so fun anymore. That's not like, woo, Jesus, conference time. That's, oh boy, I got to get up tomorrow and face my wife and be kind. Yeah. I'll just back up on the stage over here, behind the holy desk. That's the reality. It's like, I want to just get in that sweet spot, and then Jesus puts His finger on my heart. It's like, oh, okay. Gonna have to deal with that. And you find that sweet spot again, and then I open my eyes, and there's my wife again. No, it's like, some of you are laughing too hard on that one. I can see that. But are you with Jesus? Do you know Him? Or are you just hanging around on the fringe? Are you just kind of living off of grandmother's faith or someone else's experience? Or is it something that's genuinely life-giving in your soul to know Jesus? He didn't look like He did the last time they saw Him. He, you know, they forgot some of the promises, and He had to go through the Scripture and show them that the Christ had to suffer, He had to die, and then He had to come back. And this is my last one, and I got my sermon, but true. You can take Him home with you. I like that thought. They invited Him to stay, and he acted like He was going to carry on. It's kind of like a missionary. Faith without hints is dead. You know that thing? Anyhow, that's an inside joke. But he just acted like He was going to carry on, waiting to see what these guys were about. And they said, no, please stay. And then you know the story. He revealed Himself through the Lord's Supper. He broke bread and their eyes are open. And just as their eyes are open, He's gone. And I believe God wants to spend time with us. He wants us to invite Him in. You know, to him who, you know, I stand at the door and knock. We preach that as evangelism, but that's for the church. And he who opens the door, I'll come in and sup with him and him with me, and we'll have fellowship. And I have to ask this, how's your fellowship with Jesus? Because here's where I was going to, and don't judge me, but it's amazing how few conversations we have that center around Scripture. Center around what God's doing. And I could list the people in my life who, that's the conversations I have with them. And then I could list the people in my life who the conversations are politics or whatever. And it's not wrong. I'm just saying, how much of our conversation is around the Scripture, is around fellowship of the saints, around Jesus, around him being with us and being invited in and being part of our conversation? How much of our day is spent with Jesus? You know, we could get serious here this morning. How much do we invite him into our life and in our conversations? And I love it. You know, maybe it's because, you know, we lived in Africa for 30 years and we were missionaries and that's the whole point, we were there or whatever. But it was like, it was always easy to get into a conversation around Jesus, around salvation, around church. You know, you just ask someone, you go to church, no, I'm a Muslim. Well, what does that mean? And all of a sudden we're into this conversation talking about faith and life and what they believe and what we believe. And just, and it's challenging here in this part of the world to get to that point where you actually talk about the Scripture, talk about vision, talk about the call of God. And I thank God for the coffees I had this week to just talk about what God's speaking to our hearts and how do we respond and how do we get involved and what do we do. And I believe that that's the conversation that's going to give us life. We spend it around the Scriptures. And Russell shared about life group and I shared about life group. And, you know, it's how little bit of time in our week do we get to actually spend time in the Word of God and praying and talking and sharing together. And so let's make emphasis, let's make effort to do it. So I want to end, I hope. If it's, as I was going to say, in your Bible, of course, it's the same in your Bible as in mine. But as this story ends, of this trip to Emmaus, the very next gospel is John's gospel. And in the beginning of that gospel, he starts laying out, you know, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it, didn't comprehend it. And then it goes on in verse 10, the world did not recognize him. You know, he came to this world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. Though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. So the dark didn't comprehend, the world didn't recognize him. And then he came to his own, John says, and what? They didn't receive him. That's kind of like, well, that's kind of like everybody. That kind of sums up everybody. The darkness couldn't recognize it, perceive it. The world doesn't recognize who he is. And he came to his own, and they didn't even receive him. And that's how John starts his gospel, where these guys kind of ended off, kind of lost on the trail. And so here's my conclusion. I believe God wants to show himself to us. He wants to be recognized. He wants us to see him in all the circumstances of our life. Even when he shows up in ways we don't get. It's not how we wanted God to answer a prayer. We have to recognize him and see him and know him in our lives. And then if I'd stay in the Gospel of John, we are to be those witnesses, John the Baptist starting, and then, we're going to get to the pouring out of the Holy Spirit and all of that, which happens very shortly after some of these encounters, after his resurrection. And what does that lead to? It leads to you and I being witnesses of Jesus, living witnesses. So Lori and I were talking about that this week. Like, what, I was asking her, what do we get out of this little story of these two guys walking down the trail? And it's, do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Not about him. Do you know him? Do you know him as Lord? Do you know him as Savior? Are you living in that? And then are you a witness of that? Our lives are the testimonies of who we are, of who Christ is in our life. It's how we live our lives. People are looking at us. Here's the conclusion that we came to. You want to just be an average Joe going through Christian life, coming to church once in a while? That's fine. You're free to do that. But if you put up your hand to say, I'm a follower of Jesus, I want to be a leader, whether it's in my family or in the church or whatever, like, just put up your hand for anything and say, I'm going to be different, I'm going to serve Jesus in this world, whatever, then get ready for the fight. Get ready. But then also, don't be surprised when people look at your life and they expect an example. They expect to see something. Not just, okay, I'm a Christian, but they expect to see your life. And then the joy of it and the pressure of it is they actually are watching your life. And they're actually copying your life, whether it's children or people at work or wherever. People are actually looking to you as an example. And what I love about this story, as they ended, Jesus opened their eyes. And it was around communion. And he opens their eyes, and they go running back to Jerusalem. And they're like, it's true. It's true. And that has to be the beautiful ending of actually a revelation and a fresh vision of Jesus in your life, is that you cannot quit telling people that it's true. So that's my story from the road to Emmaus. Where are you at on this road? Have you given your heart to Jesus? If not, do it this morning. If you have and you need a fresh revelation, then let him speak to you through his word and by his Holy Spirit. As we've been here worshiping and praying, I pray that something fresh grips you. And then I pray that he would show up in your circumstances, as we prayed, surprise you. It's time for change in people's lives. It's time to see miracles again. It's time to see circumstances changed. And we will keep praying, and we'll keep praying, but as God help this country, and I could say lots of what I think about Canada right now and the circumstances and God's judgment and God's hand on us, but it's like, God, have your way in our lives. And in our churches, and in this country, and in this city. And the battle is not against flesh and blood. It's principalities and powers. And our weapons are not carnal. They are righteous in the left and in the right. We have weapons of prayer and holiness and living and the power of the Holy Spirit to make a change and to make a difference, if nothing else, in our own hearts. And let it start there. Amen? So, wherever you at in this walk with on the road to Emmaus, may your eyes be open. May our hearts be open. May we quit listening to current events. We're not stupid, you know. Sorry, Grandma Oma. She always giving us a hard time. Oh, you guys just got your head in the sand. She watches a lot of news. I'm like, it's true, but we want to be wise. We don't want to be stupid. But actually, what's gonna rule and reign in our hearts and our lives is this, and what God says. And Jesus, beginning in the beginning, opened to them the Scriptures. And I pray this morning that he would open to us his will and his perfect plan and his desire for us and his love for us and his commitment to us. And that even as we shared communion today, eyes could be opened about who Jesus is. Let's pray. I'm going to invite the band to come. Father, thank you this morning that you are in control of our lives. You are in control of Canada. And Lord, I pray for myself and us that we'd be more concerned about what you say and what you are doing and what you are inviting us into and calling us to than we would of things around us. And Lord, I pray that we would recognize the enemy, we would recognize your voice when you speak, and that, Father, we would grow in our faith and grow in our lives and grow in our obedience to you. And this morning, Father, I pray, I sincerely pray for a miracle for one or all of us, whoever, for eyes to be open and to see again the amazing Jesus who's walking with us, to see again the life in your word and what you invite us into. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Russell.
Thank you, Len. In this place, I just want you to keep your eyes closed. And as the band plays, and Len's already said it three times, and I'm going to say it once more, I want you to just think about where you are on that road and commit to Jesus that over the course of the next few hours today or into tomorrow, that you are going to have an honest conversation with Jesus about where you find yourself on that road. I'm going to stop talking for a minute and just think about what you want to commit to him.